Welcome to Aging Gayfully. We're about adventure, leisure, travel, being a citizen of the world, traveling to destinations, and being a part of the global community as we age and prosper in body, mind, and spirit.
Welcome to Aging Gayfully. I'm Josh.
Yeah, you know, you're Josh every week. Don't you have like a nom de plume that you could be? Like, I don't know. What do you think?
Okay, let's try this again then. Welcome to Aging Gayfully. I'm the Golden Eagle.
I'm the Golden Eagle. I kind of like that. I think there's a college that has Golden Eagle as their mascot.
Oh, I would not doubt that.
Wouldn't it be the bald Golden Eagle, though?
Listen, come on now. This is one cue ball calling another cue ball bald.
That's right. Well, you know, bald is beautiful.
It is, and I love it.
You know, and I'm getting some tan because, you know, I'm walking. I'm down 30 pounds, and because I'm aging gayfully. What about you?
I am as well, and also, we can talk about that sun a little bit. You're hanging out in South Florida, too.
I'm hanging out in South Florida, you know. Goodness gracious, St. Ignatius. I've jumped into an acting career here at the ripe old age of 68. It's been fun. I've had two roles in some films at the University of Miami and just auditioned for another one yesterday. And, you know, it's kind of like stepping into your comfort zone. Never, you know, like my sign says, if you can dream it, you can do it.
Well, I love that. Now, are you finding that you're getting typecast?
Well, yeah, because, you know, I've got the look. At least that's what they tell me. I mean, my goodness, my sisters would say, hey, watch your ego at the door. But no, there's opportunities for old dudes, and you know, it's been great. It's been a great experience watching these graduate students at the U of M, University of Miami, work on their thesis projects, which they're both writing and producing the films. And, you know, I'm playing these small bits, small parts that, you know, call for older, nice looking.
Of course,
bald. I'm going for it. It's fun.
I love it. Well, I'm excited to get into our topic today. We're going to be talking a little bit, well, that's not true, a lot about marriage equality. Now, we've been doing this show for a while, and if there's one thing we've tried to show every week, it's that getting older doesn't mean fading out. It can be leaning into your comfort zone.
I like that.
Oh, yeah. And what does that mean? We're leaning into joy. We're leaning into who our identity is, into the love that we can have and we can receive, into the full spectrum of who we are. And so today's episode is personal for both you and I in very different ways, marriage equality. And not from a political angle necessarily, because that's not what we do here, but from the emotional and the human side.
Political? Are there political things going on these days?
Well, it seems that everything is politics, but it's really about the heart of the thing.
Well, yeah, you know, it's really, you know, everything really should be about love, care, and commitment. That's really what it should be. That's kind of what we're called to be to one another. At least that's kind of what I have been educated in. So,
well, I'm hoping that you can give us some of your education and some of your experience.
Well, I like your education and experience too.
Well, let me talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm the straight guy in this double act here. I've been married for a while, and for me, marriage is never been about the piece of paper, although that matters legally, but emotionally and spiritually, it's about me being seen by Amanda, by my partner. Yeah. And it's about standing up in front of everyone and saying, this is my person, this is my home, this is my safety. Mm-hmm. And I gotta tell you, I've always kind of taken that for granted that I can do that.
Now, that's an interesting line, taking that for granted. What do you mean by that, Josh?
Well, I never had to wonder, am I allowed to do this? Is this okay for me to do in other people's eyes? Yeah. Now, we've had plenty of other struggles, as people in relationships do. I've never had that struggle.
So you never had to worry about walking into a hospital and being asked, well, what is your relationship to this person? After you've filled out all the forms.
Exactly that.
Yeah. So what is that, you know, that piece of paper, that license, what does that really mean when you signed all that and you got that? What did it mean for you?
It was symbolic. It was Amanda and I proclaiming to the world that we now choose each other. Mm-hmm. That's what that meant.
Yeah. It kind of like seals the deal.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, we were both in our 40s and previously married, and we had considered at one time, well, maybe we can just live together.
Just kind of hang out.
Yeah, but that just didn't feel enough in our estimation at the end of the day. You know, there was something about sealing the deal, as you say, something about ratifying our commitment to each other, mm-hmm. so that not only we would acknowledge it and recognize it, so that other people would acknowledge it and recognize it as well.
Right.
But you didn't have that experience.
No, I didn't, and I think for most, if not every LGBT person, especially in the United States, that piece of paper has a little bit more meaning to it. You know, Richard and I used to always talk about, you know, we didn't need that paper to solidify our love. We needed that paper for the legal protection that the rights that are granted upon marriage. And oftentimes when you're, I'll just ask somebody who's just, you just reveal, of course, I knew that, you'd been through that twice. When you say, I do, until death do us part, you know, all those words that are in the ritual, we don't often, I would think that you wouldn't often think about in the midst of a joyful celebration, you know, what those words mean till death do us part, actually how that comes into play when an illness takes on, because, you know, who wants to be thinking about an illness when you're going through a joyful celebration, but those rites upon marriage are always transferred upon death and illness. And, you know, that is really kind of what at the crux, as well as tax deductions and all those other things that come in with the benefits of being married. But we don't think about those advantages of having that piece of paper that solidifies the legal context of a loving relationship, or in some people's cases, an unloving relationship. So,
you know, I just did think of another reason why we thought it was important. There are children involved, and
right.
So I can just have the littlest bit of ability to understand that we, as a married couple, we would want to have that legally binding contract for the sake of our children, you know, if something should happen to one of us or the other one of us, or even if someone is, you know, on vacation or something and I'm home with the kids, to make sure that I can deal with all the things that I need to deal with. So there is that consideration that we had when we were talking about getting legally married as well.
Well, and that's a whole other component to it that I'm quite frankly unfamiliar with, but I know there's thousands upon thousands of LGBT folks that do have children. That's a whole thought process in and of itself about the ramifications about, custody and, but that you come back to that certificate, that license, that pretty much solidifies. And that's kind of on the chopping block these days.
Yeah. Are you familiar with, have you been following some of the things that are going on specifically?
Well, it's just that, you follow all the chatter that's going on. And you see where things are being removed. I'm trying to use the polite word. And this is just another piece on the chopping block that, can gay marriage be rescinded? Well, sure, it could be. What does that do to folks that and their legal protection? I mean, the stories have always been there about LGBT couples and being denied access at the time of life transition because they don't have the legal recourse, or families who haven't been connected to their brother or sister for years all of a sudden swoop in at the last moment and throw the lifelong partner to the side. Those things continue to happen. It's that legal document that really solidifies that relationship and puts people on par. Because oftentimes the news coverage is more on the negative side of what gay relationships are, not on the positive side, not on the positive sides of couples that have been together 30, 40, 50, even 60 years. And that love is different in some ways. All religious and philosophical components aside, love is love. You fall in love with the person that you become attracted to. And why can't everybody have those legal rights that are granted upon marriage, the tax benefits, mm-hmm. housing? There's ways of getting around not being married if you have your advance directives and you set up your deed and title. But why would you have to go through all those gymnastics to get something that is rightfully addressed for everybody? And why do people want to take that away? What's the reason for that? Is it hate? I don't know.
I don't have the answer to that one.
Yeah, I don't know. So, and that's why I think it's important to have these conversations, especially in these changing times, is... I think we're really, when you get right down to it, we have more in common than not. And sure, everybody has peculiarities and differences, but I don't know. I think people want three things in life. They want to give it and they want to receive it. And that's love, care, and commitment. Sounds kind of corny, but... I don't know, does that license Does that license solidify love, care, and commitment? Well, not to the two people involved in the agreement. I mean, they knew that before they signed it. I would imagine you and Amanda knew that before you signed it. Or you wouldn't have signed it.
Well, it's interesting that you should put it quite that way, though, because there's also, for straight couples, there's not the possible negative consequence from living out loud and from saying, hey, we are a married couple. Now, I say that. Maybe from the in-laws, but I'm talking about from the larger society, you know? Right. And so for folks, same-sex folks to marry and to proclaim that out loud, well, it does seem to me that that is a little bit dangerous for them, possibly. It can carry consequences.
Well, I think all our actions, you know, carry consequences. But when it comes to matters of the heart, to have a subjective third party attempt to reject your love, care, and commitment for somebody else, then that, you know, I have to beg to differ. You know, it's kind of like, what's that old saying, that cliche, don't judge a book by its cover. Mm-hmm. You know, people looked at Richard and I, it's like, how did two people like this connect? Well, I mean, we never really were able to answer that question because we just knew that we did. We understood each other's, even though our backgrounds were different, we understood our upbringing, being the youngest of large families, and how that impacted us. And you explore, as any couples do, you explore those, you know, your life and how you fit in together. And it just happens. Isn't that how love just happens? You know, you have to be, that physical attraction probably starts things off about, you know, why do I want to meet this person? Well, I'm physically attracted to art, you know, but physical attraction wears off after a short period of time if there's no emotional connection to an individual. And I don't know. I would kind of think, I think it's okay for me to ask you this. Wasn't that how it happened with you and Amanda? Well, isn't that how that all happens with relationships?
Well, I can't speak for anyone else, but yeah, that's my experience.
I don't know. I don't know why I became attracted to a 5'5" bald-headed Jewish man, but I certainly know that after talking with him and it's like, oh, I want to get to know this person more. And, you know, that's where the connection is. But isn't that common with all relationships? I don't know. I've not been in a heterosexual relationship, but I would have to think humans kind of react to the same stimulus.
You said it. Love is love.
Even if it's on different sides of the fence. I don't know. I always like that terminology, the different side of the fence. So
let me ask you a question, if you don't mind. How long after you first met Richard to the point where you're like, oh yeah, this is the one? I'm just curious.
It was early on. Yeah. I would say probably within a month or 6 weeks. It's like, I want to make something out of this. And I remember saying to him, this is going back 20 some odd years now. I remember saying to him, I said, I need you in my life. And I don't, you know, I've had loving and caring relationships before, but not to the extent that was. Not to where I could have openly say that without any hesitation, because you feel it. And I think anybody that falls in love with a person, they feel that. You know, I want to spend more time. I want to explore this. I want to look at all the options. And that's no different for anybody that falls in love, because we're all human.
And when you said that, what did he say? How did he receive that?
He teared up a little bit, as I did, and he said this. He said, I feel the same way. We came from different backgrounds, different experiences, different religious beliefs. But when you feel it, you know it. And with that, Josh, you don't want any outside entity impacting your relationship. Sure, obviously, LGBT people have always known that the rules were different for them. So it's kind of like when Richard was starting to get sick, especially the last couple of years of his life, 2012, 13, that's when marriage equality was really in the forefront. And we'd be sitting watching TV and listening, watching the news, and all these stories would pop up about marriage equality and how that was in the forefront, and all the pride celebrations were about that. And, Richard would look at me and he would say, you know, what's funny about this is they think this is like a new topic. And I said, I could tell you in the 60s and 70s in New York, when all of our friends would get together for a dinner party, we would get together on a Saturday night. Sometimes there'd be 10 of us. Sometimes there'd be 20. Sometimes there'd be couples. But we would always sit around and talk about the need for marriage equality and what it would be like to be protected. She said, so they present this like this is something new, but I'm telling you, we've been talking about this amongst ourselves for as long as I could remember. And he made a very big point. He said, but the difference today is that it's out in the open. We were afraid to talk about it out in the open in the 60s and 70s, because we could either lose our jobs or be singled out. But that didn't stop us from talking about it amongst ourselves. So it really wasn't a new topic to folks in his era. It's just became prevalent in the conversation in the 2012, 13, when the case was presented. And sure, the legal status of marriage protects people. Take the religion component out of it. The legal status of marriage protects people. Their rights upon marriage, taxes, and all, child. It's all there because who can debate somebody's love, care, and commitment for somebody else? And we seem to be going back into conversations these days about removing that protection. And I mean, I'm only going to speculate myself, but I think a lot of it has to do with religion ideology that is often misplaced.
Yeah, I was looking up some of the challenges that are happening in states. Mm-hmm. And what you just said speaks to that ideology. For example, I'm going to just read this. In Idaho, the Idaho House of Representatives passed House Joint Memorial 1, calling for the Supreme Court to, quote, restore the natural definition of marriage, unquote, as between one man and one woman. This was a non-binding resolution that they appealed to the Supreme Court to overturn Obergefell. And natural definition of marriage speaks to that ideology right there. It's plain, it's naked, it's out in the open. That's what's happening. Yeah. And I know a plenty of hetero couples, I would look at them and I'd say, that ain't no natural marriage. And I've known countless same-sex couples who have been such a shining example of love, care, and commitment, and others who haven't. And, you know, so this is not the basis upon which we judge someone's relationship. We judge it upon what we see is happening with the love.
Right. I remember one of the comments that was made after my book was published. And after the story was, you know, the story was published, the book was published, you know, all the comments that were going on in the story. And one, so many that stuck out, but in this conversation this morning, it's like, do you know how many heterosexual couples wish they had the loving relationship that the two of you had? And that, you know, those are the comments that I prefer to have stick with me.
Yeah.
Because that's the, you know, the true essence of love, care, and commitment. Are you there for the person, with the person, 100% from the beginning to the end? That's when you, you know, that's what that piece of paper tells you. But it's what's in your heart that allows you to embrace what those responsibilities are. And it's that piece of paper that allows couples to express in their own way their love, care, and commitment without the worry of any outside involvement. Mm-hmm. And that's what I fear as this conversation, this chatter moves forward about removing this protection. Because I think, you know, such as we're all the same. Mm-hmm. How are we treating each other? It doesn't seem like we're treating each other really well these days.
I will say this, and you said it before. We have to look for it because there are plenty of us who are treating each other well.
Yeah.
That doesn't get attention on the news.
Doesn't get attention. And that's what we want to do here with Aging Gayfully.
Yeah. It's happening.
We want you to feel like you have a safe space here to be yourself, to share your love, care, and commitment. Because when we think about, you know, the spirit of aging gayfully, well, everybody wants to age gayfully. It doesn't make any difference if you're gay or straight. Everybody wants to age in a society that's loving and caring and peaceful, that you feel safe in. Mm-hmm. You know, is that Pollyannic? Well, some people might think so, but I think that's kind of the message that we're called to live by. Love one another.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have some homework for our listeners as we close out our episode here.
Homework? Oh my God, you got homework? So you're springing that on me. Do I have to do it too?
No. No, you've just done it.
Did it?
You just really? Did it as an example. So let me tell you. So listeners out there, wherever you are, and however you love.
Wait, I have to correct you.
Go ahead.
listeners and viewers, because, you know, we're now big time. We're doing video podcasts. I mean, you've polished up the dome. You've got a good shirt on. You've got new light. It's listeners and viewers. Now, remember, we're going big time here, Josh.
Yeah, and I'm wearing a shirt. That also and is, you're wearing is a step a shirt. Up.
See, and I got my Aging Gayfully shirt on because, you know, I've lost 30 pounds and can fit into it. So that's a whole other story. Yeah.
That was your other homework. Be healthy. Here, this is what I have to say. We want to invite you, our dear friends out there who are partaking of our content by whatever means. We want to invite you to think about what it means to have your love honored, not just by laws or by systems, but by your friends and your family and your community. And most importantly, by yourself, and we want to hear your stories. What does it mean for you to age gayfully in love? So how can they tell us their stories, Chris?
Well, you can email your story to us at yesiam@aginggayfully.com. That's yesiam@aginggayfully.com. And to kind of help us out here, in the subject line, just put query letters, QUEERYLETTERS, query letters in the subject line, and tell us about your love, care, and commitment.
I cannot wait to read those stories.
And if you want to be a guest, indicate that in the subject as well, or in the content as well, and we'll have you on as a guest. Because again, we're going big time, Josh. We're on video. We're on audio. We, you know, get guests. Well, goodness, where could this go?
3D.
3D.
Live. In
that's
person.
That's coming up too. So.
All righty. Well, until next time, you all out there, our friends, our community, keep living, keep laughing, and keep aging gayfully.
Good to be with you, Josh.
See you soon.